the words and would like to share with you are found in the passage we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and it is the incident at the very end of that chapter concerning the visit by our Lord to the house in Bethany of Mary and Martha. And particularly I want us to think of the example of Mary and the way in which it is highlighted for us by the complaint of Martha. She had a sister, we're reading in verse 39, called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." We're living in a society where we are more and more becoming dependent upon electrical gadgets and all these gizmos that are set before us. And one of the dangers of these electrical gadgets is that there can be what's called information overload. A system, a computer, a machine, something can have too much information to handle. It cannot work with it, it cannot assess it, it cannot evaluate it, so it shuts down. It does nothing. Information overload. And something very similar can happen to us. From the moment the alarm goes in the morning, right away we have to hit the ground running. The pace of life is faster, and the demands of work are greater. And there is increasingly amongst us, in any and every profession, ministry included, an increasing occurrence of stress. Something is bound to snap. Someone is bound to crack. Now that's sad at any time. But it is also bad when it applies to our spiritual lives. The Lord has set this day to counter that kind of pressure and stress, using it for a good end, giving our mind and our body rest, to exclude other things for a moment, holding them at arm's distance from us, so that we can be devoted to one thing, to the worship of our God. Psalm 46:10 tells us, be still and know that I am God. And it is to retain that balance, to have a hold on that need for rest and peace, that we have this incident before us in the life of Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord. Just recount the details in broad sweep of this chapter itself. At the very beginning, the Lord sent out 70 of his representatives, and he sent them out on kingdom work. They were busy in all the different villages they went to, telling people, sharing with people, instructing, preaching, if you like, preaching the gospel of the Lord Messiah. And then they all got back to the Lord again, and what we would call today a debriefing took place. And we see there the way in which they told what had happened and what they achieved and what they saw. And then we have the joy of the Lord over what they achieved. And then we move on from that in the beginning of the chapter into the example, the very familiar words of the Good Samaritan, and the way in which care is to be shown and expressed to others who are in need round about us. And putting these things together, we can come to the conclusion that the Christian life is indeed a very active life. It's full of this and that keeping us going. It's a life that has a tremendous opportunity and a life that has a tremendous commitment. There is that outward hustle and bustle of kingdom work. But there must needs be a balance. So we're given this picture of home life in Bethany. It's not the first time that this note has been struck with the Lord and His disciples. If you go to a very similar setting in Mark's Gospel chapter 6, again you find the disciples are sent out and they come back and they're all bubbling over with what the Lord has enabled them to do. And they're telling the Lord of what they've achieved, and the Lord says, "Come ye apart and rest a while." It's the same emphasis there in Mark 6 as we've got here in Luke 10. The balance between work and worship. The balance between standing up and sitting down. The constant need for us all to take our lives underneath the light of Scripture. For every one of us constantly to look at ourselves afresh and anew regularly. Because we can so easily, so quickly lose this balance. We know the pressure that comes on us in life. We know it ourselves. There are certain things that we've all got to attend to. We all have them, the pressure of every day. But over and above them all, the Lord has something else to say to us. He says and He tells us there are some things that are even more important. He cuts across our plans. He first of all tells us, and again we mentioned it this morning, the way in which the Lord comes and introduces in many different places of Scripture that priority that is His with that simple phrase, one thing. One thing. One thing. And as soon as we hear it, we have the priority the Lord gives. The first priority that He gives us, Luke chapter 9, verse 25. There is the man who was born blind and the Lord heals him. And he's asked for an explanation why and how he was healed, and he cannot give it. But he says, one thing I know. Once I was blind, now I can see. The priority that he had. The things that we have been taught from our youth become real to us. Precious to us. We relish the beauty and the love of the Lord. We love Him for what He has done for our souls. That priority that we never had, because at one time we turned our back on the Lord, and like Isaiah 53 tells us, who's believed our report? Who has seen the beauty of the Lord? No, to us the Lord was like a weed growing out of dry ground. There was neither form nor comeliness. There was nothing attractive. There was nothing desirable about Him until that priority changed. Once I was blind, now I can see. But not only is there the priority the Lord sets, but He also sets the possession. The Lord clears the decks. And again, how important and appropriate this is in our material age. The Lord clears the decks of all human possessions. And He says to us, there's something so much more vital that we need. A personal relationship with the Lord. We need spiritual currency. One thing thou lackest, go sell what you've got, give to the poor, take up your cross, follow me. The rich young ruler that came to the Lord, and the way in which the Lord emphasized the one important possession, and here was a man who had much possessions. And then again, this one thing. There is a constant demand upon our time and upon our energy. We've seen it already illustrated in the examples here in Mark 6 of the disciples being sent out on mission work. the time, the energy, the commitment they've got and they're giving and going out on this work. But there's other things that also have a legitimate claim upon our time and our energy. And maintaining the balance is what we're going to talk of tonight. How then do we divide up our time? And we can extend it out from simply that work, but also we can bring in, like, how are we going to resist temptation when it comes? We can be up there working and striving, but how are we going to survive when temptation comes? How are we going to resist? Or again, in the work that we're engaged in, when we meet either with apathy on one hand or opposition on the other, how are we going to keep going? We're always hitting a wet blanket with apathy. People are always coming back at us with opposition. How are we going to keep going? What's the point? These and many other questions are answered by this example we've got of Mary and the Lord and her reaction and response to him. We've seen the priority. We've heard of the possession. Here now we're told of the best position. Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord. So many different things we can put into that position. So many different elements that can come out. We also could be singing. Singing thankfulness to the Lord sitting there because of what he's given to us. We could be stimulated by what the Lord is saying and sharing with us and bringing to us, challenging us. We can be sharpened in our own application of gospel truth and the way in which we also take it out and present it before others. The best position to be in, sitting at the feet of the Lord. Because of this, it is possible to be busy, but not necessarily blessed. It is possible to be busy, but not necessarily blessed. So then we come to this woman's life and her position, the best position of all. And what do we see in it? And what lessons do we get from her for ourselves? Three simple lessons. Mary appears in three different places of Scripture. And in each one of them, she is at the feet of the Lord. There are therefore three simple lessons we take from her life for ourselves tonight. And the first one is simply this one from Luke 10. The choice in her life. Mary has chosen this good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The choice in her life. Bethany seemed to be a place of retreat for the Lord. It was a sanctuary and a place where he could go to and be with friends. He came there for a meal. It involved Mary and Martha. After not too long a time, Mary sat, and Martha tried to serve. It was an action that was approved by the Lord. But Martha couldn't stand it. And she complained to the Lord. And in that complaint, she brought from the Lord this commendation of Mary. You're careful about many things and troubled about many things, Martha. But one thing is needful. We're not told what that one thing is that is needful. We're not told what that good part is. But we see it certainly demonstrated and illustrated in the way in which Mary behaved here in this picture. Here is Mary sitting. And in sitting down, you've got to look up at somebody who's standing speaking. Paul, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, illustrates this same dependence, delight, this same attitude of Mary taking in the words of the Lord to our very soul and being refreshed by them. The longer we go on in life, we said it this morning, the longer we go on in life and the more that we see of life, the more we see this important relationship for us all. Martha, you're troubled about many things. Many things? All we have to do is look about our society today and see the way in which people are troubled about many things. People are struggling. And they're struggling for something in their lives, and they're prepared to go to costly lengths to get it. But what they've got sometimes, oftentimes, is not really necessary or vital to their lives. There is that old saying, we perhaps know it by heart, man does not live by bread alone. And yet that's the very philosophy that we see about us in society today. People are trying to live by bread alone. And as they do so, they find their lives are increasingly empty and a vanity. But Mary has discovered something different. Mary has discovered, yes, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Lord her God. This was the choice of her life then. And as it is the choice of her life, so she challenges ours. She was no longer preoccupied by herself. Her heart and her soul has gone out to the Lord. What about us? Have we known that change in focus in our lives? We're not told what happened, where it happened, how it happened to Mary. These are very personal details. The important question is, has it happened at all? The Lord confronts us with what we are really like. We are very, very good and very expert at creating a false picture that all is well and all is right with us. But then when the Lord deals with us and the Lord takes us in hand, He makes us look into a mirror. Not a mirror that we've created, but the mirror that He gives. The mirror that He gives is His Word, and it reflects our true character. He confronts us. He convicts us about what we really are ourselves, that we cannot help ourselves, that we are truly sinners in His hand. And whenever we see that picture and we begin to feel its effect and its import, then we become concerned. We're concerned about our spiritual state. We're concerned about our spiritual destiny. It's a black picture and it's getting darker. Until that is, the Lord bursts in with words of pardon and grace. And we listen to the gospel in a different way, perhaps for the first time. And the Lord changes us. And we are converted. And when that happens, as it happened to Mary, we find that we are now satisfied with Christ. He is our contentment. What He says is meat and drink to our souls. He's our comfort. Whatever difficulty we might have to go through, whatever weight we've got to carry or path we've got to walk, it might be lonely, hard and heavy. But we're never alone in the doing of it. He's the friend that stays closer than any brother. He's the one who gives strength for whatever He requires. This is what Mary discovered. This was her choice in life. What is He to us then? Have we chosen the good part that Mary made and did? With all the pressing demands upon our life, with all of the agenda, with all of the timetable, with everything that's going to happen in this coming week and in these next days, however long or short the days are left to us will be. Where does Jesus fit in to these days for us? The choice she made. And let's not move on before we emphasize one last thought. It was a good part she chose. The gospel is good for us in all of the variety of life, sickness and in health, for time and for eternity, in youth and in old age, in poverty and in plenty. No matter what we might have to face, surprising or unexpected as that might be around the corner of life tomorrow, the one conclusion that we can come to always, every time, it's good for me to wait upon my God. It's good for me to trust in Him. Fellowship with God is never time wasted. Oh, yes. Oh, the devil will try to paint all of these good things in the worst possible colors. Wait a minute, you can be doing this instead of reading that. Instead of speaking to the Lord in prayer, go on, get on and do this and that. But we have tasted that the Lord is good. And we've tasted that He is gracious. And because of these things that we've discovered and experienced in the past, no, this gospel is a good part. It's the best part for us. It will not be taken away. We will not lose it. Other people, even kings and people in positions of power and influence, the leaders and the magnates in business and society, the great pop stars, football players, call them and look at them what you will. The day will come when they've got to lay down what they're glorying in now. But never for the Christian. Never will we lose what we've got. It will only get better as we go along. The Christian has a treasure that he will never be deprived of. It will never be recalled. It will never be removed. There's no fault in it. There's no lack with it. These are the things that Mary had sampled, tasted, and as she went on in life, knew more and more of the same. The choice in her life and the way in which she challenges us. Are we with her or apart from her? Yes. The choice in her life. Luke 10. But we go on. I want us to think now of the love of her life. Because the choice that she's made here in this good part is not a choice in words only. It's repeated throughout her life. If you'd go with me to John's Gospel chapter 12. And there we have the 6 days before the Passover. And especially at verse 3, we find this written. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. What a beautiful action that is, demonstrating her love to the Lord. There's no talk, there's no conversation takes place. The Lord and His disciples are there sitting. And here is Mary listening. But she does something that speaks more voluble, more personal, more sincere than many another word that is said. Love can be a mighty force. And its greatest work is not always done with the best of talkers. The way she did things spoke volumes. We're told she took this ointment of spikenard very costly. She had received the priceless word of life. She had received, as we said there a moment ago, she had made a choice. She discovered the ministry of the Lord to her soul, as every one of the Lord's people does. And when we've got that, then we've got an altogether different outlook on life. Nothing is too much for our God. What He has done for us puts everything in the shade. Nothing is too costly now for the one who gave His life that we might go free. Costly. But she was criticized. She was criticized because of what she was doing. It could have been sold and used to give to others. It came down to this, that she was accused even of wasting it in what she was doing with it. But the Lord commended her. She's done this good work on me, associated with my death. Let her alone, he says. Against the day of my burying have she kept this. She had an insight given by the Spirit. She had an insight and understanding of what the Lord was going to do way ahead of these other disciples. She saw that He was going to die. And here she is, anointing Him, embalming Him, anointing Him ready for that moment of death. She had received tokens of spiritual blessing and of grace and of mercy from the Lord. She had her cup of spiritual blessing overflowing. Her heart was bursting in worship to her Lord, the love of her life. And again, she challenges us and speaks to us. If we've experienced the grace of the Lord, how much of that grace have we experienced? If the Lord has dealt with us in mercy, how much of His mercy do we appreciate? To put it as she puts it for us, when was the last time we were in tears before our Lord for what the Lord has done for us? Not only over sin, but in tears also over the size and the enormity of His thoughts and His blessings towards us. We must not allow the conventions of society about us to dictate the expression of our spirituality and our devotion to the Lord. She poured out her heart in worship and thanks. Remember that example that's given to us at the very end of Luke chapter 7. There was a woman that was in tears. And she was in tears not because of the amount of sin, but she was in tears because of her awareness of forgiveness for her sin. The love of her life, because she saw the enormity of what the Lord had done for her. And nothing. Nothing was now too much for the Lord who had given so much for her. We've said it often, we repeat it again. The gospel is free, but it's not cheap. It's a gospel that is freely offered to us, but is offered to us at the fearful cost of the Lord's death upon the cross. So there we have the second example. Not only the joy of her life, not only the love of her life, but we come to one last thought, the delight of her life. If you go back one chapter, this time to John chapter 11, and verse 32, this time it's the death of Lazarus, her brother. And verse 32, we see then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Death can strip us down to the chassis, can take away all of the superficial things that we've gathered in life and that have stuck to us along life's journey. That's what death did here. Mary had lost her brother, and all that she wanted was that the Lord would be there. We will put it this way. Remember what Peter said when he was challenged, "Lord, to whom will we go?" And that very question and answer that Peter posed to the Lord. So Mary has it for us here. Peter saying it. Mary saying it. To whom shall we go? We cannot think of going to anyone else. We cannot think of returning to our past life and ways and habits. We cannot think of going back to the pattern we had when there was no joy. There was no satisfaction. Life was dry and burdensome and empty. Having tasted of the Lord's grace and goodness, we are spoilt. We are spoilt for taste and choice. We know too much. We've experienced too much. Nothing now satisfies like the Lord Jesus Christ. We have tasted that He is gracious. And nobody else now can give us that same experience but the Lord. To whom shall I go? The delight in the heart and in the life of Mary. And why is there that delight? Again, listening to what Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" We will go to the Messiah. Why? Because with the Messiah there are words of life. Thou hast the word of eternal life. That's the delight that she had and experienced and set before us. Not dead words or dead sounds. But what the Lord spoke was something powerful and vital and dynamic. And what the Lord said went into her soul and was like a balm of water upon dry ground. It was like light coming into a dark place. It was like food for her soul when she'd been starved for so long. The words of life. Search as we can through all of history, all of biography, all of experience in life. Search as we can in whatever area we can find, we will find nothing that will meet the needs of the human soul better than the word of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one who speaks words of pardon and forgiveness. He is the one who brings satisfaction and peace. He is the one who takes us from trouble and puts us at ease. He is the one who lifts our soul as no one else can. And He's the one who puts us at rest as no one else gives it. The delight of her life. She then has made the discovery. And she's made the discovery, and the effects of it remain with her still. Jesus Christ is truly the Messiah. He has come from God for the work of salvation. He gives stability, He gives strength, He gives satisfaction. And again she challenges us, where does our delight lie? To whom do we go to, and whom do we speak with, and whom do we listen to? Again, it's one of these priorities we haven't touched on at the beginning, but we'll take it in now. Psalm 27. One thing I of the Lord desired, and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I may within God's house remain. to discover that delight in his ministry to our soul. Yes, there are many distractions in life, many distractions in the church, many distractions in society, and we need to stand loosely by these things. There's the nursery rhyme about the pussycat who went to London to see the Queen. And when the pussycat entered the room where the Queen was, what was it the pussycat saw but a mouse underneath the chair? We can be distracted in the same way as the pussycat was. But the Lord constantly speaks to us and comes back and he says to us, these things, one thing important to us. Mary chose it. Mary showed her love. Mary showed her delight. The choice she made, never wasted, never regretted, never ashamed of. We need that same challenge and we need that same choice today. Let us listen to what God is saying to us today, tonight. And let nothing cloud these simple words of our God. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let nothing, therefore, steal these words and these words of challenge from our God. Let nothing steal anything from our soul of what the Lord has been saying to us today, as he has been telling us of one thing that is most important for us, our relationship with him and time spent with him, that our lives would have the breath and the air and the influence of heaven as we go out and about living our life in this coming week for him. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thy name for the breadth of thy word and the ministry of thy spirit and thy grace in dealing with us. And may we listen to what thou art saying to us constantly. And may we lay it up in our own hearts. And by the light of heaven upon our hearts and thy word, may we understand more carefully ourselves and this gospel in our hands. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give us the grace to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. In his name we ask it. Amen. Let us close our service tonight by singing from Psalm 34. Again, seeking to take up some of the sentiments of what we've just been saying. Psalm 34 and at verse 8. O taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God, his saints, none that in fear shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. O children, hither do ye come, and unto me give ear. I shall you teach to understand how ye the Lord should fear. What man is he that life desires, to see good would live long? Thy lips refrain from speaking guile, and from ill words thy tongue.
Now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit, rest upon the body.